The first reading today, we hear about the fact that people thought God's ways were unfair because God was willing to forgive the sins of people who repented. And at the same time, he was going to hold responsible the people who had decided to stop living a good life and decided to live a life of sin. This makes perfect sense to us. We're accustomed to that. But people will look at it and say, but if I've generally lived a good life and then I do something stupid toward the end of my life, have you forgotten everything else? It's not the question of whether God has forgotten everything else. The question is, have we forgotten? Whom do we serve? That's the real question. We as Christian people should rejoice if someone's sins are forgiven, because we know that ours are. We know where we belong. We know where we deserve to be. And if we had to answer for all of our sins, we know that every last one of us would be condemned to a pretty deep place even on top of that. And so if we can rejoice in the forgiveness of our sin, so much more do we need to rejoice in the forgiveness of somebody else's. But we also have to recognize what our Lord is talking about in the gospel. He sees this man who has been lying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. This man is unable to move. And it's interesting in the way that our Lord speaks to him after he finds him in the temple. So the pool of Bethesda was not in the temple. The water came out from the temple, but it wasn't in the temple. So this man, again, you recognize that he is healed, and he went to the temple. He went to thank God for what had happened. So clearly a man of faith. And Jesus said to him, sin no more, lest something worse befall you. Now, that doesn't necessarily imply that the man was in this condition because of his sins, because there are other people that Jesus healed, and he told them, your sins are forgiven you. And the person was healed. This man, he didn't say that. He just said, pick up your pallet and walk. So we don't know why the man was in the condition he was in. But what we do know is that if someone is totally paralyzed physically for years and years and years, to be in the state of mortal sin is way worse. And that's what Jesus is saying. Sin no more, lest something worse befall you. Yes, it'd be worse dealing with the effects of our sins if we were to wind up in condemnation. But our Lord isn't necessarily even talking about what will ultimately happen. It's a matter of what happens to your soul. It's one thing for your body to be hurt or for your body not to work correctly. But even if the body doesn't work, the soul still does. Remember, the two faculties of the soul are the mind and the will. Unless there's something of brain damage or something like that, the mind still works fine, and so does the will. We can still think and we can still choose. But if we injure our soul by sin, then, while, yes, the mind still works, and so does the will, we have to recognize how badly we hurt ourselves. In moral theology, there is actually a principle that says it is impossible. Note the word, it is impossible for anyone in the state of mortal sin to think clearly. Now, that doesn't mean, as I would say regarding high school kids, for instance, that they go and do something idiotic that they can't go in and take a test and get an A on it. They might say, see, my mind works just fine. That's not the point. The point is that in the area of the sin and any areas ancillary to the sin, you're no longer able to think clearly. And consequently, if you can't think clearly, you cannot make good decisions. We see that happening all the time. You might think back at a point in your own life. Maybe there was a sinful phase of your life. And think of some of the decisions you made. Think of the way that you justified doing certain things. It's okay for me because it's not as bad as whatever. We find all kinds of stupid ways to say that it's okay for me to commit sin. It's okay for me to be in the state of sin. Understand what we're doing every time we sin. Even if it's a venial sin, we hurt our own soul. You might not feel it in the body, but your soul is injured. And the Lord is telling us that is far, far worse than something happening to the body, because your personality resides in your soul. Your body is indeed an integral part of who you are as a person. But you are a person because of your soul. You have a human soul, which is a personal soul. So when we hurt our soul, we're damaging our own person. The Lord is telling us, don't be sinning, because this is way worse than doing something to your body or having something done to your body. We would all be outraged if somebody did something to injure us physically. And then what do? We do it to ourselves spiritually. Sort of like spiritual suicide, isn't it? Well, I guess that's what committing a mortal sin is. You've just killed the life of God in your own soul. And then look around the world and we see people rejoicing in their sin. They're rejoicing in their own demise, in the fact that they no longer have the life of God in their soul, in the fact that they've chosen Satan over God. Do you see how messed up we become? Rather than rejoicing in the good, we rejoice in the evil. So that's what the Lord is getting at. Look at the sins and get rid of them. If you haven't been to confession for a while, please, please come to confession. Get your sins removed. That's what happens. You go to confession, the sins are literally destroyed. They are removed from your soul. They are destroyed. They will never, ever be heard of again. They are gone forever. It doesn't matter if it's a huge sin or a little one. When God gives you forgiveness and absolution, the sin is gone. But be very careful of presumption. Oh, I'll just go and sin, then I can just go to confession. That's a mortal sin by itself, by the way. But think of what you're doing. You're saying, I'll really mess myself up and then I'll go to confession. I'll harm myself horribly and then I'll go to confession. God doesn't want you harming yourself. God wants you to be built up. God wants you to become holy. Not, let's see how badly I can harm myself and see if I can get back in the state of grace so I can limp my way in. No, he wants you running to heaven, not dragging yourself there. He doesn't want you putting obstacles in your own way. So that's the point, is let's work at overcoming the sins, whatever they happen to be, and stop trying to justify them that they aren't worse than somebody else's or it's not as bad as this or whatever. If it's a sin, it's an offense against God, and it hurts our own self. So there is no justification. We simply need to work to get rid of them. That's the whole point. Stop sinning, Jesus said, lest something far worse overtake you.